910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After Syrian rebels toppled the Assad regime in Syria, the U.S. says it believes video circulating showing an American as Travis Timmerman. He was detained after crossing into Syria 7 months ago on a Christian pilgrimage. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Jordan for talks on stabilizing the region, talking to reporters about the development.
We're working to bring him home, to bring him out of Syria and to bring him home. But for privacy reasons, I can't share any more detail than that.
Blinken also says the U.S. is determined to find missing journalist Austin Tice, who was kidnapped 12 years ago in Syria. President-elect Trump ringing the bell with members of the Trump family today at the New York Stock Exchange. He's also been named as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Incoming White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt on Fox News confirming that President-elect Trump has invited China's president to attend his inauguration. No response yet from China's leader. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin has received nearly $18 million of federal funding to replace large older vehicles like buses and dump trucks with zero-emission vehicles. The funding comes from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, which awarded a total of $735 million for similar projects across the country. The Clean Heavy Duty Vehicle Grant Program was established through the Inflation Reduction Act. This round of funding through the program will be used to replace nearly 60 heavy-duty vehicles in the city of Milwaukee. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received $10 million in grant funding for programs that help kids with disabilities in correctional facilities enter the workforce. The funding comes from the U.S. Department of Education's Disability Innovation Fund program and will be spread out over a five-year period. The program seeks to provide training for kids with disabilities for good jobs that are in demand in the state when they leave the correctional facility. Officials hope the program cuts down on the number of kids who reoffend. Long-delayed construction on a new brew pub in Washburn has officially started. Badger Kolisch appeared before the Washburn City Council this week to provide an update on the project, which he had originally hoped to have fully open by last spring. On Monday, he told city officials the foundation of the building has officially been laid, and he plans to continue construction through the winter in the hopes of opening the brew pub over the summer. The previous building at the site had been demolished in 2023, leaving a giant hole behind for months. Sawyer County authorities are still looking for help from the community in their investigation into six recent structure fires. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, the county is now working with about a dozen agents from the Wisconsin Division of Criminal Investigations to locate the person they believe to be responsible for the arson fires. They've also released surveillance footage showing the suspected individual and are asking the community for any information on them. The first fire was started at a gas station on November 23rd. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers add some lefties. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At the winter baseball meetings, the Brewers have added two left-handed minor league pitchers to their 40-man roster, Connor Thomas from the Cardinals and Grant Wolfram from the Texas Rangers. College football, the Badgers need a new quarterback. Braden Locke says he's entering the transfer portal. So is Tyler Van Dyke. Last night, receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind and will return to Wisconsin. NFL, the Packers face the Seahawks, led by their new head coach, Mike McDonald, former Ravens defensive coordinator Matt LaFleur.
I think Mike's done an outstanding job. It's a great scheme. They can throw a lot of different coverages at you, a lot of different fronts, different looks, and then you combine that with really good players, then it can be a problem.
Seattle's Mike McDonald.
They play a great brand of football. They've been doing it throughout their entire franchise history, and especially since Matt's got there and doing his thing. So we got a lot of respect for them and how they play.
That's Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It may look pretty outside, but it doesn't feel that way. High temperatures today are struggling to get to the single digits, with wind chill values making it feel more like 15 to 25 below. Winds are still a bit feisty, and temperatures fall back sub-zero tonight. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 9 below zero.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review, James Santel will join me to discuss the ramification of FBI Director Christopher Wray stepping down, what it means for the FBI specifically and the DOJ in general. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Can you...
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin and worldwide on the Civic Media app, I'm Luke Mathers, not Todd Allbaugh. We are going to be joined shortly here, momentarily here, by friend of the Todd Allbaugh Show, Matt Flynn, just working on getting Matt set up to take over. We got Mr. Todd Allbaugh doing a little traveling today, so really grateful for Matt to be able to fill in, helping out Mr. Zommers here on the board in Madison. Aaron, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
You know, doing well. I imagine Todd is on a jet right now, hopefully not delayed.
On a jet airplane, yeah. Hopefully taking care of his travels. Going to be jealous of him getting to see the green and gold out in the West Coast this weekend. But as we work with Matt to get him connected here, if you want to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can download the Civic Media app. We got a fun show for you in store with Matt Flynn guest hosting for Mr. Allbaugh. You're going to want to stay tuned in the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up in just under an hour, we will have your next chance to win in Civic Media's statewide grown-up gift list text-to-win contest. So if you've been listening throughout this week and you've already entered in for one of those 8 grand prizes, you'll also have an opportunity to win next hour either $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. So you want to stick with us. But Matt, do we have you?
I can hear you. I think they successfully hooked me up.
All right, Matt. Well, we're thrilled to have you here. I apologize that we had a little bit of a rough go to start, but Matt, it is all yours. You can take it away. We really appreciate you filling in for Todd here on this Thursday afternoon.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Luke. And welcome everybody to the Todd Allbaugh Show. I'm Matt Flynn, broadcasting from Racine. Matt Flynn and Matt Flynn Direct. I'm the guest host for Todd. Todd is en route to Seattle, Washington. He obviously can't do the show in the airplane, so I'm his guest host and his friend. He's going to be broadcasting from Seattle tomorrow. That's where the Packers are playing the Seahawks. Our lines are open, 855-752-4842. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And I want to welcome Mr. Zommers, the producer, as always, this time for the guest host, Mr. Zommers. Great to have you with us as well.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've produced a show that you were hosting.
Well, it's great to be with you again. We have a lot to talk about, and I'm just going to start. And one of the things that people wrestle with in our party, we had a bad result on November 5th in the presidential election. Thank God in this state, Tammy Baldwin won, but unfortunately, Donald Trump won. And the question is, how do you reconcile your duties as an American, as a citizen, trying to unify the country and solve our problems, and yet knowing what Donald Trump has done and will try to do? And let me give you some ideas. One of the things that, frankly, bothers me a great deal is that some commentators will say things like, well, okay, he won fair and square. He won fair and square, so now we have to take him. The Wall Street Journal even said, well, thank God there won't be violence, without recognizing that there would have been if he lost. And the only reason there isn't is because he won. Let me dig down on this very deep. I do not think that there was fraud in the election that cost Kamala Harris the election, because we got 9% or 10% less of a vote in Manhattan than we normally do, 9 or 10% less in Chicago. And people around the world, even though we were doing, Joe Biden did a better job on inflation than anybody else, people were punished. They were incumbents, there was inflation, they were punished. I get it. But don't let anybody tell you that he won fair and square. There were bomb threats called in to the Navajo Reservation in Arizona, to the polls. There were bomb threats called in to inner city polling precincts in Atlanta and around the country. And these came in, it looked like they were of Russian origin. So the question is, was it the Ruskies? Was it a false flag? Did Trump's people know about it? And if they didn't get involved in it directly, were they part of it? So what we can expect from this Republican Party going forward is that there'll be chicanery, threats of violence, bomb threats, in any way they need to do to try to win an election. In this particular case, as I say, I do not think that that was dispositive. I do not think that that's what tipped it against Kamala Harris. So just be careful when you're talking to people, when you're listening to them, make it very, very clear that no, this was not fair and square. Yes, he won, and we're not contesting that. But the fact of the matter is that this party will resort to violence and has resorted to it in the past. Now, let me tell you something else about it that should occur to everybody. This is a party under Trump. And remember something, a fish rots from the head down. Trump is corrupt and he was elected president. So when he's acting in the interests of the country, we'll all get together, we'll vote for bills and so on. But this is a guy, if you'll recall, who had two of his senators, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama and Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma, block promotions of our military officers, our flag officers. Tommy Tuberville blocked them for 10 months. Mark Wayne Mullen blocked the general who is about to take command of our forces in Europe. They will deliberately injure the United States to try to get back to power. They will deliberately injure the United States. Rand Paul blocked the appointment of an ambassador to Niger a few years ago. Niger had a president that was favorable to us. He was overthrown by an Islamist insurgency, people who kill Christians in Africa. They got into power as a result of Rand Paul's not permitting us to send an ambassador there. They threw out the president, they invited the Ruskies in, and they tossed out our troops. So it's a complicated thing, but when you're talking to people, yes, we have a president, we respect the presidency. Yes, we will get together, for instance, and vote for the Defense Authorization Act and things that benefit the country. But do not forget that this is a party in power. There's a party in power that will resort to illegal means to stay in power. One thing that's occurred here locally, we talked about it on Todd Albo's show the other day, I was a guest, was the issue of the fake electors in our state. Other states have prosecuted their fake electors, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, but not Wisconsin. Our Justice Department has not, to this day, prosecuted a fake elector. In June, the Justice Department filed single forgery charges against three individuals, a Trump staffer, another guy, but not one of our fake electors. And then just the other day, they filed 10 more felony counts, but only against those three people. Not against Ron Johnson, who was walking around with Michigan state electors in his pocket, telling his chief of staff to send them to Pence to try to stop the certification of the vote. What is the Wisconsin senator doing with the Michigan fake electors in his pocket? Voss, who is the one who set up the conference room for the fake electors to meet in, Fitzgerald, who suggested it, the congressman, he was a state senator at the time. And they were very sneaky about it. Remember, they all got directives. Don't tell anybody. There is a principle of criminal law that if you try to conceal your actions, that's evidence of having committed the crime, not just of obstruction. Guy robs a bank or a liquor store, runs away and changes his clothing and puts on a wig. That's admissible in court as proof that he did the robbery, did the burglary. In this case, our Justice Department has said, well, we're going after these three guys because they tricked the fake electors. They defrauded the fake electors. I will say to his credit that Tony Evers was asked about that, and he just chuckled. He said they knew exactly what they were doing. And I'm saying that, too. I'm backing the governor up. The fake electors knew exactly what they were doing. And they have not been prosecuted. One of them is on the Wisconsin Election Board, the Wisconsin Election Commission. Another one was an elected official up in Brown County. They were not defrauded by Voss and Trump, Fitzgerald, Ron Johnson. They were in on it. They were in on it. And there should have been a grand jury or a John Doe summon, and ask them in detail what went on. This to me looks pretextual. It looks as if somebody is checking the boxes, going through the motions. If there had been a proper and legitimate prosecution in a timely way, that would have affected our state in a lot of ways. I think that Rebecca Cook very likely could have won the congressional seat against Van Orden in Western Wisconsin. I don't know if Kamala Harris would have won. Maybe not, but the point is it would have been the right thing to do, the right thing to do. So my message here in this first segment is I think our party has to be a lot more aggressive than they have been in what they say and how they respond to Trump and the Republicans. And even though it's absolutely true that we are Americans, we will stand with our country. We have a party in power and people in power who we have to stand up to when it's appropriate. We'll come back after the break, and there is a lot more to talk about. Back after the break.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law? Well, you see, I didn't really mean you any harm, but I
You're
simply
back
couldn't
on the
make
air.
It on the farm.
We're back on the air, when and the we have some callers. Our lines are open, 855-752-4842. First, we'll go to Angie of Monroe. Angie, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Angie?
Yeah, I was just going to make a funny comment about Trump being on the Time magazine, but your topic is so much better. Yeah, I actually regret my vote for Josh Call all over this topic that you were talking about, and I do not plan on voting for him again for not going after the electors. So I hope they plan on a good replacement for him. That's just my opinion about Josh Call.
Angie, well, thank you. You know, I know Josh, and I knew his mom, Peggy Lautenschlager. She was a good friend of mine. Josh is a friend. I like Josh a lot. But I think that we have got to step up the aggressiveness of our representation here in the state. And I don't mean in an untoward way, but this, to me, if Ron Johnson has the Michigan state electors in his pocket and tries to get him to Pence to stop the certification, why did he do that? Why is he innocent? And if all 10 of them go in there sneaking around, told to keep it secret, and yet the statement is that they were defrauded by whom? By Trump? They support Trump. The whole thing, frankly, to me, is pretextual. And I think going forward, we got to do it a lot better. Angie, thanks a lot for calling in. Next, we go to Kurt, I believe in Madison. Kurt, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Kurt?
Yeah, Tom Hartman had a guest on. His name was Steven Spoonamore. He's a data scientist expert. I hope you get a chance to watch it. I text the link for it for YouTube. He talks about all the years he's been monitoring these machines across the country. And he says typically he's never seen a variation of more than 1% between the votes tabulations. And he talks about states where the numbers were just grossly out of whack, like Pennsylvania was, I think he said 32%, and Arizona 32%. I don't like to be a conspiracy guy, but with all the powers that be to get this criminal back in power, I do believe something was at work.
You know, that's a very interesting statement. A good friend of mine called me. He lives out in Seattle. He lives there. And he thought very much the way you do and about these correlations. But it's also true that in the exit polls, and they're a lot cruder, and they're a lot less precise than other kinds of polling. The Democrats clearly got fewer votes in some constituencies than we had in the past. And we frankly just flat out got 9% fewer votes in Manhattan, Chicago, and a lot of other places. So when I say, and it's not conspiracy theory to think that the Republican Party, if they thought they could get away with it, with Russian involvement, would do exactly what you're saying. And there was a clerk out in Denver who went to prison because she turned over, but she publicized the access code to the polls, and she turned over information that happened in Michigan, too. I think we have to be vigilant about that. There's absolutely no question we have to be vigilant about it. The only question in my mind is, did that change the election? Because we don't want to get into one of these Dominion machine things the way Trump did. And I think, and this is, we don't have the House, we don't have the Senate, we don't have the presidency, but maybe a DA, probably a state DA, because the federal DA's prosecutors are all being switched over, possibly John Chisholm, our DA, was one of the best. Kent Leverman is coming in. They can convene a John Doe, and they can investigate this in individual states. But, Kurt, I don't discount what you're saying. I don't discount what you're saying. But there did appear to be a wave of voting that was reduced in our favor in large municipalities where this did not happen. And so that's all I can say. I don't have a crystal ball, and I believe it does merit further investigation. Thank you very, very much.
And we also have Gene in Eau Claire on the line.
Gene in Eau Claire, my old friend. Gene, you used to call in to Matt Flynn Direct all the time. It's great to hear. Gene, what's on your mind today?
Well, it's wonderful to hear your voice, and I hate to interrupt it because I always learn a lot from you. But thank you for being on. I'm so excited that Todd had you come in and sub for him. I'd love to hear you more and more. You know, everything you've said is just outstanding, Matt, and I believe that something isn't right here either, but I can't put my finger on it. But I do know for a fact, dirty, dirty ads from the Americans for the Prosperous were running nonstop. We weren't getting a lot of information from local television stations of things that Trump did. We have to fight back, but we need to, you know, they need to use the law and enforce the law as it was intended. I didn't know that a felon could be president of the United States. I didn't know a guy who would not give his taxes, you know, before he became the president because he was being investigated and all this stuff federally. Well, and then he's still the president and he's doing all kinds of things that were brought out to the public, you know, that were illegal. And the different things that he has done, it just stuns me, Matt. I can't believe that he could put off all of his trials where he was guilty. A lot of people pled guilty. Our fake electors admitted that somebody was taking them, directing them, and keeping it secret. I mean, if somebody was taking me down a hall or I had special people with me getting me into a place I shouldn't be in, I mean, I think I would be a little scared and wondering what the devil's going on. I mean, come on, Matt. We've been fooled so much. I just can't believe it. But thank you so much for being on there. You have a great day. Thank you,
Gene.
Bye.
Thank you, Gene. And you hit the nail on the head. If people say, let's sneak around a little bit, there's something wrong. And these 10 electors knew there was something wrong because they sneaked around a little bit. We're coming up on the next very short break, and we'll be back. We have a lot to talk about, and a lot of you are on the phone. We'll get to every call. Back very shortly.
Well, I didn't really think that I did wrong. Just as long as I stayed here where I belong, I did the only thing I could, same as anybody would. Yes, I was simply trying to get along. On this side of the law, on that side of the law. Who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From Chicago, Class 3 milk prices are continuing the rally they started yesterday afternoon. How should dairy farmers react? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Thursday. Dairy broker and analyst Ryan Yonkman joins us from EverEgg. He says the lift in milk prices this time of year has a name, and he's got advice on how to play it to your advantage.
Look, we would say this. Back in September when we had the rally we did, that was very seasonal, very on time, very much usually a place to take advantage of opportunity. You get through that and you never know if you're going to get another look at a rally. Sometimes you get something in Thanksgiving. Sometimes you get what we call a Santa Claus rally. We're getting the Santa Claus rally now. And to me, for any dairy in the country, this is, in our opinion, your late look, right? Your late fall rally, whatever you want to call it, to take opportunity of removing risk going into at least the first half of next year.
We'll take another look at Class 3 milk prices in just a moment. Ryan Yonkman joining us. He's a dairy broker and analyst with EverEgg.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Thursday from Chicago, Class 3 milk prices continue their Santa Claus rally, as we heard from Ryan Yonkman earlier. The January Class 3 milk contract is up 33 cents at $19.85 a hundredweight, and the February Class 3 milk contract is up 29 cents, trading at $19.78 a hundredweight. Grain markets are moving in the opposite direction. Cash corn is down a nickel at 4.43 and a quarter. 2025 new crop corn is down 2.5 cents at 4.41 and a half. Cash soybeans are trading 3.25 cents lower at 9.22 and a quarter. And 2025 new crop soybeans are down 3.75 cents at 10.10 and three quarters. And July new crop wheat is down a nickel at 5.74 and a half. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It may look pretty outside, but it doesn't feel that way. High temperatures today are struggling to get to the single digits, with wind chill values making it feel more like 15 to 25 below. Winds are still a bit feisty, and temperatures fall back sub-zero tonight. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 7 below zero at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulationary to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our lines are open. Our lines are open, and we have people on the lines, and we're going to go to them right away. First of all, L.A. Tom, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, L.A. Tom?
Hey, Matt. First off, you know, talking about the Ruskies and, you know, calling in bomb threats and other voting suppression tactics that took place around the country that our corporate media, unfortunately, did not cover very much. Also, voter suppression, the Electoral College needs to go because it suppresses the votes in places like Illinois and Manhattan and L.A. Because if you're putting all of the emphasis on those areas, which are the battleground states, it makes other people less likely to go out and vote in the kind of numbers that they normally would if they actually had a stake or had a say in who our president is going to be. And third, I just want to ask you a question. Why don't the Democrats run and invoke Franklin Delano Roosevelt's name and that they're running for office to complete FDR's, who was elected four different times, the second Economic Bill of Rights, and actually run and talk about the history? You know, we're in this problem right now because every 100 years, different characters, but we don't learn from history. We're back in 1925 at this point, really. And right. And the thing is, the Democrats should have been saying all along, here's FDR, here's Lyndon Johnson, here, you know, Eisenhower, look what Reagan did. He went and took the tax rate from, you know, 90% down to 37%. I mean, they should be telling the story. If we don't have any narrative on the Democratic side, and we need to be right. telling the story because our story right. is good. But
well, Tom, no, thanks for calling in. And, you know, the question of how we're conducting our campaigns, obviously, I don't run the Democratic Party. For two terms, I was the chair of our state party, and I had a lot of input on what our message was. But two things that you raised. One is nobody mentions the bomb threats, for Pete's sake, in the Navajo Reservation. And the Navajo Reservation and the inner city around the country by a Russian source that may or may not have been a Russian source to benefit Trump. Nobody even mentions it. I'm not saying that there is enough fraud that would have overturned the election, but there was violence. That is a form of a bomb threat is violence. And secondly, Franklin Roosevelt is really the father of the modern Democratic Party. Obviously, it goes back to goes back to Thomas Jefferson, but he is the father of it. There's no question about that. And Joe Biden did a superb job in trying to complete that kind of economic program. And you're right. Everybody runs away from it and they try to run in the middle and all this stuff. And I think it's wrong. But that was an excellent point. Thank you for calling. Joe in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
I'm really grateful that Tom was expanding on FDR and his contribution to Democratic Party, because I wanted to go back to a line that I think is so important that FDR said. He was talking about how hated he was by the business interests in the country because of the programs that he had put in place to save the rest of us from the terrible times of the Depression. And he had this great line. He said, "I welcome their hatred." Just this buoyant, "I welcome their hatred." I think we need to tap onto that kind of chutzpah, that kind of moxie, that kind of we aren't going to. I just hear from so many people that they feel kind of, I mean, dispirited would be a good way of saying it. Defeated would be another way of saying it. And I just think we need to gear up and to remember that incredible example of all that he went through during the Depression, and then to be able to say, "I welcome their hatred." What a great line, and what a great way to sort of say we can go forward despite everything that's been happening. Thanks a lot, Matt. It's so great to hear you again. I hope you can return to the air again and again. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much, Joe. And I agree with you. I love that line. And he's also, he was much more aggressive than our people are now. He was much more aggressive. For instance, Social Security was passed in 1935 over the objections of the Republican Party, and only because when it was before the Supreme Court, they were about to hold it unconstitutional. I'm not kidding. Social Security. And they were so scared by Roosevelt that one guy flipped and 5-4, they upheld the constitutionality of Social Security. And the Republicans, when they ran against him in 1940, they said, well, we want to improve Social Security. And he got up there and he mocked them. He laughed at them. He said, they say they want to improve Social Security. Of course they do. Of course they do. We don't have that kind of aggressiveness and very skillful aggressiveness, unfortunately. So couldn't agree more. Great to hear your voice again. And we are going to go back to some other subjects. We have Mr. Zomers is monitoring the calls from Mr. Zomers. There are other calls right now.
We do. We have Tom and Jackson on the line.
Tom and Jackson, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Great to hear you on the air again. I hope to hear you more. I agree with what all your previous callers have said, but there's something that's not being talked about that I really think was one of the key factors of why the Democrats lost this time around. And I think it was the real focus on pro-abortion that...
I lost you, Tom. I think we got lost the connection, Mr. Zomers.
Yeah, it seems like it dropped. Must have driven through a tunnel or something.
Okay, Tom of Jackson, if you could call back, Mr. Zomers will put you through. So thank you very, very much. And I see him picking up his phone. And Mr. Zomers, if we have Tom, stick him back through.
Yes, Tom in Jackson, we should be able to hear him now.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Okay. Every small county, every rural county in the country was red this time, turned red, everyone. And I believe that the reason that is that the pro-life people really made an effort. And on the flip side, I think the Democrats lost voters, especially women voters, because, and I hate to say this, I think there's many of them that feel guilt about what's happened since 1973 and that there are 50 million abortions. And I think the ones that have gone through that did not want to vote. And so with those two together, it was the nail in the coffin. And I hate to say that, but I think that needs to be looked at. There needs to be a common coming together with Republicans on this issue, you know, not so 100% one way, 100% the other, which is, I hope you see what I mean.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for calling in. Let me tell you my view, and this has to do more with the presentation of the issue. Here's the deal. Many, perhaps most women who seek out abortions are faced with very, very grave potential health problems, including threats to their life. And there was at least one woman, I believe it was in Georgia, who died because the doctor said, you're not sick enough. We're afraid we'll be prosecuted. And I think the way to present that was if a woman goes to, you know, the baby, the fetus is dead, for instance, the woman could get sepsis, she has sepsis, and she goes into the emergency room and they say, we can't treat you, we can't do anything for you because we're afraid of prosecution. So they go out to the parking lot, they're crying, their husband's crying, hugging them. They wanted the baby. They wanted the baby. But the baby is dead or the baby can't survive. The mother's health is threatened. I think when it's presented that way, that was a very, very effective way to present the issue. Because in Idaho, for instance, there's no exception for the life of the mother. Texas, they say there is. But here's the anomaly, and let's be very blunt about this. In Wisconsin, you have 72 DAs, and probably half of them see themselves in Congress or governor. In Texas, same kind of thing. To prosecute a doctor for doing an abortion might get them on court TV, might get them some publicity. And so it's a very, very, very real, legitimate threat. In my way of thinking, the only way is to restore, in effect, Roe v. Wade with legislative status. And why do I say that? Read Roe v. Wade sometime. Everybody talks about Roe v. Wade. Nobody's read it. I bet that there aren't 10% of the people listening to this broadcast that have read Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade says in the first 3 months, there can be no restrictions. The second three, you know, moderate restrictions, and the final trimester, perhaps a little more. Very, very vague. The idea being, I mean, at what point do you want medical personnel who actually are licensed? What kind of things should the medical profession talk about? And the medical profession, I think, has reached a consensus about protecting women's health. And so the idea that somehow there are late-term abortions sort of willy-nilly is ridiculous. Women are bitterly disappointed frequently when they realize that they can't carry their child to term. And it is cruel. Idaho passed a law that said if you leave the state to get an abortion somewhere else, that's a felony. Ridiculous. And there's a guy that put in a bill saying that they should get the death penalty for doing an abortion. There is a degree of neurosis. There's a degree of really psychosis on the part of some people that are attacking on this issue from the right. But your point is that did we as a Democratic Party present it correctly? And you may very well be right, because all of the data shows that whatever votes net, on a net basis, Democrats picked up on the issue was not sufficient to overcome the votes that they lost.
We've got a bunch of callers on the line, too.
Okay, well, you know something? Callers are my interviewees. Let's do the next one.
All right, we've got Larry in Sun Prairie.
Larry in Sun Prairie, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Larry?
Yeah, you were talking about the legal systems and the progressives got to start getting better at it. What sticks to my craw still is when Prosser was elected to the Supreme Court, I think he ran against Koppelberg. She was actually had won the election, and then this county or city clerk, Kathy Nicholas, who had taken her laptop home with all the vote totals, and opens it up the next morning, and says, oh, found like 15,000 more votes, and it turned the election over to Prosser. And Prosser was kind of a weasel. You know, he gets all this acclimation. They named the court library after him, which they just took away. But he spoke at one of my union meetings one time. We invited him there. I mean, he's a nice guy, but I'm sure he was pretty savvy. He was a pretty good lawyer, I guess. But nobody ever talked about, you know.
Right. I'm familiar with the issue, and thank you for raising it. She was a clerk, I think it was in Brookfield, and it affected the Waukesha vote, and that's exactly right. She went, what the hell is she doing taking this stuff home? Now, that election occurred well over 10 years ago, so it's not something we can revisit. I'm not naive. The Republicans would do something if they thought they can get away with it. Fortunately, we have a great DA in Milwaukee. I think we have a great DA in Madison. We have an attorney general. And I think the ability to get away with that kind of chicanery is very much reduced. But I do not put it behind. Listen, when you have a party that won't pass even a budget bill if a Democrat's president, won't promote our military officers. I was a military officer, very low ranking. I was Lieutenant JG. They will not promote generals. They won't promote admirals. They won't approve of ambassadors to areas where our allies are under attack. They will deliberately injure the United States to stay in power. That's just the sad fact of the matter. And there's no getting around that. So would they pull something? Yes, they would pull something. And we have to be vigilant, entirely vigilant. Remember something. History occurs every second of the day. Whether you're awake, whether you're not, we've got to follow it. Now we're going to another brief break. We'll be back, and there's a lot more. And keep everybody on the line. We're going to get back to the callers. This show is about the callers, Amers. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We'll take your calls in just a moment.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY. Going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself.
Welcome back to the Todd Albo Show. Matt Flindereck sitting in as the guest host. Todd is on the way to Seattle, Washington to broadcast tomorrow from Seattle, where the Packers are playing the Seahawks. We have some more callers. This show is very caller friendly. Our callers are our interviewees. We learn as much from the callers or more than we do anywhere else in the show. We're going to take you in order. Do not hang up. We're going to start with Wisco Paul. Thanks for calling, Wisco Paul. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Nice to hear your voice on the radio again. Are you still there?
Yes, I am, Paul. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm driving, so once in a while things get messed up here. But at any rate, nice to hear your voice on the radio again. And I was riding with Biden, and I think it was too late not to let him run, although we did have a bad debate, but we'll never know for sure. But my question is, you spent $1.5 billion, and I think the border was the big thing, because I don't know how else Trump wins without that border issue. So thanks for taking my call, Matt.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I'm going to tell you why. As you know, I'm riding with Biden. I was for Biden early on in 2020, when everybody else was for Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, this one, that one. And I also said publicly on this air, as Todd Albo's desk, I thought it was a mistake to yank him, even though he had a bad debate. He was the incumbent president, done a lot, and you can't overcome that. Having said that, I think Kamala Harris did a terrific job with very little time. What, does she have 100 days or something? And, you know, and then she's running against a guy who had been president, even though I think he, well, he's a convicted felon, but he did a lousy job. But it's hard to, if there's a president running against somebody who isn't a president, that's a tough matchup. When it comes to the immigration question, I also agree with that. And here's the deal. When you had people watching on the evening news every day, hundreds of migrants roaming around New York and Chicago with nowhere to go, being put up in hotels. It had clearly broken down, and we were taking people into the country and then giving them citations to come back, and half of them didn't come back and all that. So finally, Biden did put in some stringent orders, and it calmed down a little bit, but it was probably seen as too little too late. The concern I have, quite frankly, is that Donald Trump has sadistic tendencies. The way he tried to stop people before is taking children away from their mothers. You know, a poor woman comes in with a baby in her, literally, or with like a 4-year-old girl or a 6-year-old girl. They take the kid away. In some cases, they couldn't find the parent again. That's flat out sadistic. The mother's sobbing. What the hell is that all about? So the problem is that people saw this stuff on television. They didn't like it. There should be a legal process. We talked till we were blue in the face about how there'd been a bipartisan bill, blah, blah, blah. Trump sank it. But most people really didn't think even the bipartisan bill was enough. And so you're left with a choice of what is perceived as open borders against sadism. That is a terrible thing. That's why it was such a close election. Thank you for calling, as always, Wisco Paul Sharkey of Racine, my friend. Thanks for calling, Sharkey. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. For clarity purposes, our current president is still got immunity. Is that correct?
Of course, yeah, according to the Supreme Court, which I think was a crooked decision, quite frankly. But yeah, he has immunity, right.
So he'll have it. So when does his immunity end and the next guy's immunity begins?
At noon on January 20.
Yeah, so there's the time there. There's the stopwatches going away, and I'm seeing what they're doing in the proper direction and making some trouble because they got a lot of work to do before the regime changes. And so I think most people might be still unclear between the two offices who's what and who's where, but you kind of cleared it up for me.
Yeah, it's the oath of office. At 12:01 p.m., right after noon on January 20, Trump is president. But you raise an interesting question, and I've said this before. Do not take this literally. But suppose Biden arrested Trump, arrested the Supreme Court, sent them to Guantanamo. Okay? He has immunity. That's an official act. Now, that's obviously absurd. He's not going to do it. But Trump has threatened to do some things like that. He's threatened to use the army against the civilian population to quash protests and to do this and that. Remember in Lafayette Square, when he had the Bible, he held it upside down and walked across to the church to try to look pious, sanctimonious. He was trying to look pious. Do you know what they did? They roughed up some of those protesters. They smashed some cameras. Guy got hit in the face. This is in Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. So Trump will test that. I do not think that even this Supreme Court, as bad as it is, corrupt, frankly, as it is, the six tarantulas are stupid enough, if he ordered someone killed, would say that's an official act. But their opinion basically encompasses that kind of thing. Short answer, what Biden is trying to do is confirm as many federal judges as possible and issue clemency to people with nonviolent crimes who have been sentenced to prison for extended periods, totally unnecessarily. He just granted clemency to 1,500 people, and he's going to continue to do it. We're coming up on a short step away from this program. And then we're going to start the second hour, and there's a lot more to talk about, and there's a lot more callers. I know there are people on the line. Do not hang up. We'll get back to you right when we get back.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line, because you're mine. I walk the line, because you're mine.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with morning show host and former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show, who has likely seen Jim's pick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New York and New Jersey lawmakers signing off on a letter to federal authorities asking for more information and transparency on the mysterious drone sightings in the Northeast. ABC's Ariel Reshef has more.
They often fly with their lights off, making them harder to detect. Between 4 to 180 sightings per day, most often between 6 and 11 p.m. The unidentified aircraft spotted in the skies above military installations, neighborhoods, and even President-elect Donald Trump's Bedminster Golf Club.
President-elect Trump rang the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange today. Time magazine also naming him Person of the Year for their annual list. The U.S. says it believes video circulating showing a man found in Syria after the fall of the Assad regime is Travis P. Timmerman, an American who went missing from Hungary earlier this year. The State Department says it's also determined to find and locate Austin Tice. The journalist was kidnapped 12 years ago. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.